Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, calling to you live this week, as I do each week. This week, I am in Mishawaka, Indiana. Just got back here last night. And we have got a great show scheduled for today, but Rhonda, I got to wait 1 second because my computer's not booting quickly enough to get you unmuted. We have got my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in from the Ozarks. Rhonda, I'm hurrying to get there. Just bear with me for 1 second. Fingers are not cooperating. Come on. Come on, Blog Talk. I know you can get up there. Well, it has been an interesting week. I was in Chicago until yesterday. Finally got to Mishawaka late last night. And hopefully we'll get Rhonda open in just 1 second. Oh, Rhonda, this is just not getting me in there quickly enough.
Here I am.
Oh, you got it. Yay. I'm glad you made it in faster than me.
Well, you know, if Blog Talk Radio just blocked me out or locked, whatever, right? You know, logged me out, and I was trying to get back in, and then I couldn't get the studio to work, and, you know, it's just like, what the heck is that? So I'm sorry I've been here. Couldn't get myself
in. Oh, that's
quite
all right. I couldn't get into Blog Talk's dashboard either.
I know.
That's why.
What happened?
I figured it out. I'm logged into Facebook as someone other than myself. No wonder why it won't let me in.
Your alter ego.
Ah, that's too funny.
That is. It wasn't that for me because I don't log in through Facebook, of course, because that would, I'm sure, be your Facebook account, not mine. So, but yeah, I'm finally here, and it's good to be here. I'm glad. Now, did you have any Giordano's pizza when you were in Chicago? That's my very favorite pizza place up there.
I wish I had had Giordano's pizza. I did have some really good pizza, but it was not Giordano's. And, oh, I would have loved to have gotten to Giordano's.
Their stuffed sausage and cheese pizza, best in the world.
Yeah, it is really good.
I've sent a few people over there, and they have all thanked me profusely for it. So,
I love Giordano's pizza.
Mm. Yeah, they are delicious. So I'm glad that you're away from a hurricane zone right now.
What a great week for us to have not been there, huh?
Exactly. You can just see, we're broadcasting live in the hurricane. Yeah, right. So I'm glad that you guys are safe and some really all kinds of good things going on this week and an exciting show for us. But I want to make sure you have a chance to mention Passion to Profit to folks.
Passion to Profit is really taking off. We started last Wednesday. We've gone through 1 week. We've got this is the last week that people are going to be able to come in. If you guys don't make it in before tomorrow's call, we are taking down the sales page. It will not be put back up again until next year when we run it again. So if you're interested, this is a really incredible 10-week-long course that is really going to help you figure out what your niche is, who your audience is, help you get started driving traffic, help you get started building a list, help you figure out how you're going to make money in your business. We've got a lot of ground to cover in just 10 short weeks. It will fly by like it did last time in Passion to Profits. We've got a pretty big group. about 52 or 53 people registered for it now. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You can join us at askggg.com/P2P replay. askggg.com/P2P replay.
P2P replay. It is the number two.
It is the number two.
I just wanted to make sure, because I knew that window was closing really soon. Wanted to make sure that you could mention that to people and let people get in who wanted to get in there. And I don't have all the details yet, but relevant to our conversation about storytelling a couple weeks ago, I am doing a free storytelling webinar next week, and I will make sure, if you want to know about it, if you go to facebook.com/awakenedauthor and you like that page, that's one place you can easily find me where I will be posting the details. And that is I was recording a call with Chris Howard last night, who is a speaker trainer. We had my call that you can actually hear it live for free, well, sort of pre-recorded live for free on Thursday. We had to record it because he's traveling to Bali. But I got to share a storytelling template on that call, and that was really a lot of fun, so that's going to be a nice preview for people. And you can sign up for free. And there's other people like Janet Atwood is there, and Kevin Nations, and all kinds of great speakers are also presenting. Janet Atwood is one of them. You can go to
And we would be very remiss in not mentioning, if you don't realize this, you need to. The key to conversions is not traffic. The key to getting conversions to happen in your business is storytelling. If you don't master storytelling, you are going to really be stuck on figuring out how to get conversions to happen. Whether you're trying to get people onto your list, get people to buy what you've got to sell, without storytelling, it's a struggle. So really listen up as Rhonda tells you how to get to the storytelling call that she's doing.
Right. So I will just let you know, the speaker training, if you're someone interested in being doing public speaking as part of the way that you earn your money, you can get in for free to the calls at asktsl.com/speak. asktsl.com/speak. That will get you into the call that's I pre-recorded last night with Chris Howard. You'll be able to listen live Thursday. I think it's 6 o'clock Eastern is when the call will play, and it's only up for 48 hours once it's set out there. So make sure that you get in for that. We do talk quite a bit about storytelling, and yes, some about writing a book, but really the power of storytelling is not only for speakers but any business owner. You're absolutely right. It's at least 50% of the reason why people buy something.
Yeah, and if you look at anyone that really is a big name in any niche, what they're really doing is telling stories. Look at how they do that, because it can really change how you do things in your business, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really exciting. I'm glad to let people know about that. And I'll be doing my own webinar, as I said, next week, and I'll have details about that very soon. So anyway, that's just a really good thing to make sure people are aware of, and I am so excited about our show today. So
I have been looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, this is going to be very cool. So our guest today, you know, a lot of people that are going to be listening to our radio show, watching your screen as you listen, whatever, you might be transitioning from a job and also working on growing your business. You might have a lot of other things going on, and you're launching your business. And so when I started to see the things that our guest, Ty Goodwin, is up to, I thought, wow, how perfect, because she is a very busy person, and she does help people to launch a business while they're already working. That fits for a lot of our people. She is out on the social web and doing all kinds of great things. And it's like, corporate executive by day and business coach by night. It's going to be very exciting to have her join us. And just her website is being remodeled, and there's nothing on it right now. So So I will just say she's a Fortune 500 employee by day, coach and online publisher by night. And she definitely knows about all the hurdles and challenges and things that come up from growing a successful business while you're busy. And she is an editor-in-chief of LaunchWhileWorking.com, and Ty is really works as an advocate for people who are employeepreneurs or maybe doing two of, you know, a job and the business at once. And she also has a hashtag on Twitter, which is Small Biz Chat. So that's the #, Small Biz Chat, so that you can keep up with her, and she co-hosts that on Twitter. So a big welcome to you, Ty.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really excited to have you here, and you've got so many great things going on. Love it.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this all week.
So how the heck do you manage a full-time job with a Fortune 500 company and your own business all at the same time?
Well, I have to say, I announced this at the beginning of the month that I recently left my full-time job, and I'm out here as a full-time entrepreneur now. But for 3 years, I was working a full-time job at a Fortune 500 company during the day and part-time in the evening after my daughter was in bed. I was up to the wee hours of the morning sometimes working on a business. I was a coach. I blog. I've done social media for a lot of times, and I just spent that time really building out a business and platform online was probably what I spent the most time on.
Wow, congratulations on going full-time in your business. What an accomplishment.
Thank you. Yeah, that
what
was
What made
funny.
You
most
want fun. To get into building your own business after having had such a great job?
Well, you know what? I've always wanted to be at home for my daughter. And so my first actual venture was when she was just born, or when I was actually, before she was even born, I started a virtual assistant company. And this was way back when virtual assistants was just beginning to start. It was about back in 1999, actually. And so I had this plan that I was going to be this virtual assistant and I was going to be able to stay home with her. Well, things didn't work out. We had some family issues, and I ended up going back to work. But I never lost that passion to have my own business. I wanted to be at home. I wanted to, you know, call the shots with what I was able to make as far as income and even with what I wanted to be able to do, and more importantly, with who I wanted to be able to serve. And I just didn't feel like I could do that in a corporate environment.
Right, right. Like so many of us have found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. So talk us through this transition. Now you are full-time in your business and as opposed to transitioning, but this is great that your passion started and wanting to serve people differently. So what was that like as you transitioned, and how did you decide when to make the leap of saying, okay, it's time to quit now?
Well, I set an intention, and my original intention was at the end of this year. You know, one of the things I teach, I have a 12-step program for people that teaches them how to launch while working, and it walks them through this. And one of the steps in there is to create an exit strategy, right? So there are things that you want to have in place. You want to have, you know, is it the certain amount of money you need to have in the bank? Is it that you need to have a certain number of steady clients coming in? Is it that you have to have certain media exposure before you feel comfortable in making that transition? And you really work backwards from when you're going to be able to have those things to figure out when to make your transition in the best-case scenario. So I had planned to make a transition later this year, but my job actually, they requested me to relocate. And it was perfect timing, you know, otherwise, but, you know, they would like, you know, your position, you're at this level, we want all the people at this level to come to, you know, our corporate location. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I just got married, you know. I did not want to pick up and relocate my family and make that kind of commitment knowing that I had planned to, you know, be out here on my own at some point anyway. And so it wasn't something I was willing to sacrifice, that all that work that I put in and all the things that I wanted to do for my family. And so I made a decision that I just was not going to continue with them anymore.
Well, you know, sometimes divine intervention helps give you a little push in the direction you want to go, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. And it was that, you know, I really look at it as the intention that I set at the beginning of the year. Now, I was left with, you know, my husband. I said, you know, I think I feel a little bit upset because I didn't get to control the time like I thought, you know, being a little bit of a, you know, wanting to have control over when. But it was the intention that I'd set from the beginning of the year that I wanted, and I'd said this, I've written this down in my journal, I need an open exit door.
Yeah.
I need an open exit door from this company where I'm not going to damage relationships, where, you know, it's not going to be this knockdown, drag-out battle. It's, you know, it's not going to be any of that. I want to be able to go on good terms and, you know, have peace about it, and that's exactly what I got.
That's great.
Oh, how perfect is that?
Yeah.
And I think the way it happened, even though the timing wasn't quite what you had anticipated and the method of how it happened, maybe not so much exactly what you had anticipated, but because you set the intention, because you had the exit strategy being one of our favorite words, that allowed you to already be putting things in place. And the universe said, oh, well, you're ready, so let's just do this. You know, even if you didn't feel ready, the universe said, okay, you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I've been ready for a while, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I think things happen when they're supposed to. And, you know, since making that decision to not continue, I have been, you know, so enlightened. You know, I feel lightened in my body and my spirit and my mind, and I just feel free to go out and do this, the work that I think I've been called to do.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I'd like to hear more about this 12-step system that you've created.
Yes, me too.
Oh, well, Launch While Working, you know, it's a project and a group of people that's near and dear to my heart, especially for a lot of women. There's a proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when I look at a lot of women and we put off our hopes and our dreams because we think we have to make a choice between family and, you know, and job or family and passion, and you can't have all of those things happening together, we put things off, and I think that does something to us. It makes us sick emotionally, sometimes spiritually, sometimes even physically, because we're not doing what we have been purposed to do. And so Launch While Working for me has been an opportunity to help women and men too, but you, just because you have a day job doesn't mean you have to give up your dream of launching your business or launching your nonprofit or launching your ministry or whatever it is that you are called to do. But what I find is that a lot of people, they start and they stop, or they take two steps, but then they're not sure where to go. And then on the other side of that coin, they've got family and friends who say, you've got a good job, why would you ever, and don't you, and you can, and this economy, and there's all these things coming at us that would kind of keep us from launching a business or starting that project or just taking those steps. And so what I've done with Launch While Working in those 12 steps is give people a framework so they can feel confident, because my you know, saying is that the quickest line between you and your dream is having a plan, right? If you've got a plan, you can take steps. You can figure out what you need to work on. You can set goals, but you've got to have a plan, and so that's where those 12 steps come in.
That's great. And the fact that you've got this as a plan, everything set out, that is such an important thing. It's not a fly by the seat of your pants. It's not make a decision 1 minute and change your mind 2 days later. It's so important to have that plan. And the course corrections are definitely going to come. And I think people just need to relax and breathe into that fact that you may have a plan, and it's going to be a much straighter line than if you ambled about, obviously. But I'm sure you agree that there can be little course corrections and things that will come up that can be a little bit unexpected, right?
Oh, absolutely. And in the steps actually allow for that. You know, and I won't give you all 12 steps, you know, but I'll talk to you about the first few, you know, and in the beginning it's spending time figuring out what your purpose and passion is, right, and then how do those things tie together, and then how do you find out a way to, you know, make that profitable. Right, those are the two big questions that you have to answer. Just because you love to do something doesn't mean you can make a profit from it, or even that you should make a profit from it, right? So it's answering those two questions. And the third thing, and where I think we need to spend a lot more time at, because I see so many people struggle with this, is I call this the try before you buy method. And you ladies, I don't know how many businesses you've had, but you might be able to chime in on this. You start out with this great idea, and you get the website, You get the business cards. You get the name plate. You get everything done up. Then you actually start doing the work and realize you don't like it, or it's not the right market, or it's not the right naming. And so we go through these cycles where we're changing business card after business card because we're not taking enough time to do what I call try it before you buy it. So you've got a business idea. Then you try it. You get a few clients. You do pro bono work. You see if you really, really like doing it, if you really, really like what people want to pay you for doing it, and if you really like marketing, you know, do you really like talking about that? You're going to spend a lot of time in a business to make it profitable. If you find that you don't like what you're doing, you're in trouble. So that taking that time, and that's where a lot of that course correction comes in, because if you figure out, well, I thought I was going to, you know, be a coach, and this is part of my story too, I thought I was going to be a career coach. You know, I thought I was going to be helping people with resumes and climb the corporate ladder. And what I found, my course correction came, was when all of my clients, you know, they were like me. They were like, we want to start a business too. Can you teach us? Can you help us? And I'm like, oh, well, okay. But I followed my clients, and instead of helping people climb the corporate ladder, what I got really smart about is how do you do both? How do you work in a day job, and how do you launch this business on the side that you can start to generate income from and you can pursue your passion and maintain, too, without losing your mind and your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an important part of it, not losing your mind and your family. Yeah, I like that. Because that's, I think, something that people can undervalue is that when you're starting a business, I don't know about you, Gina, but I notice this sometimes, if people sometimes hurl themselves into a new project, and sometimes it's just a bright, shiny object thing or whatever, but sometimes when you hurl yourself into a project, there can be a lot of collateral damage on the people around you if you don't take that into account and try to do things in a balanced way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that happen. So along the way, and also I noticed that there are people that, I remember, Gina, you were saying one time on a show that you would talk to somebody at a live event and they had like six different business cards in their hand and it was a question of which one they were going to hand you.
Used to drive me crazy, Rhonda.
Yeah, I know.
I see that so often. And it always makes me wonder why they think that seems to be a good thing to do. It just blows my mind.
Yeah. That's something that I've struggled with, and I've talked to a lot of people. Now, I understand and I appreciate that there are people like myself who we consider ourselves Renaissance people or multipaths, or I've heard the term multi-potentials, you know, where we have more than one pot that we play in. That's what I like to call it for me.
Sure.
You know, I have a couple of different pots that I play in. However, that drives me crazy, too, when folks haven't made a decision about which ones they're going to pursue. And so it's like they're kind of all over the place all the time. And it's hard to really make a good living at that. And I'm trying to remember the woman's name. She wrote the book called The Renaissance, what is it, The Renaissance Soul.
Margaret Lowenstein
is her name, right?
Oh. Yes.
And she talks about using the 31 flavors model, which I absolutely love. But she says you just need to choose three or four of those flavors that you're going to sample at any one given time. And that's worked for me, and I've talked to a number of other multi-paths or multi-potentials where you might have 10 different things that you love to do, but at any given time, how many can you really focus on? And really do well and then still have a life, you know, if you're going to be successful. And for me, the magic number is three. I've got three different pots that I'm playing, but they're all closely related.
Well, one of my dear friends is a woman by the name of Stephanie Frank, and Stephanie is actually a former mentor of mine as well. When I first started working with Stephanie, I used to mistakenly think that it was a good thing to be a multitasker. And Stephanie really helped me to wrap my brain around the fact that while I could multitask, if I was multitasking and trying to do more than one thing, it really meant that my attention was divided, my loyalties were divided, and that the result would be small results, not big results that I was looking for. And it took me so long to really see the evidence of that. But the minute I started to realize what Stephanie was saying, it was like, oh my goodness, why did I think it was a good thing to multitask with six things at the same time? And once I finally realized it, it was easy to fix. It was just coming to that realization at a conscious level that I really was keeping my results small. I thought it was a good thing.
Well, we're taught that it's good, that multitasking is just the new word for busy and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what you hear. It's sort of prized that you should be good at doing a lot of different things at once. And, Ty, one thing that you said I think was key is you have three different things going. I'm sure you're not trying to focus on all of them at the same exact moment, but you talked about them being harmonized.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, it's focusing. You know, you can focus on three different things, but you can't be at the same level in all of them at the same time, right? That would be a little,
correct.
You know, awkward to do. But you know, the examples that I look at are, you know, folks out there who have three different bigger businesses, you know, and then one, you know, they're an advisor to one, and another, they're more like the CEO role, or another, they're doing more of a consultant. Now, they still have a hand in each of those businesses, but they're not running all of them as captain at the same time, right? They're not playing at the same level on each one, and I think you have to figure out how you're going to structure things, you know, around. So, you know, I have, you know, a company, Launchology 101, where I get to work on marketing consulting, but it's for the same audience. It's marketing consulting, and it's done a lot for people who are launching while working. You know, and the reason part of this came out is, you know, when you're launching a business while working, you don't have the time to be the marketing person in your group as much as you'd like to.
Right.
But as I write articles for their group at launchwhileworking.com, that's a service that we can offer them, is to help them, you know, with their marketing, with their social media, and manage that for them on the back end, you know, so it ties together. And then there's also the other piece of that, which is coaching.
That
right?
makes
coaching,
a lot of sense.
Right. So they all play together nicely. But what was key for me in making that decision was targeting who I wanted to work with. And this is more of a conversation about niche, which we hear a lot of. And, you know, some people, you know, there's different ways that people decide to niche their business, but my niche has been to focus on a group of people. So all of those folks that are out there who are making that transition or who want to make that transition from employee to entrepreneur or not, in my research, there are a number of people that actually keep the day job and a part-time business, right? And they do both of those, and they do it well. So for those people that play in that space, those are the people that I will coach. Those are the people that I will help with marketing. And those are the people that I will form a community for at LostMyWorking.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you have a target. You don't have 15 targets. You're not trying to do one thing for people who are launching while working and another thing, well, let's just say for cat lovers or something else, you know, is that you're putting things together. And I wanted to really highlight that distinction because I do see so many people that they're trying to do, it's like, well, I'm going to write a book about, you know, growing a garden, and then I'm going to do this other thing about that, and it's like a scattergram all over the place, and that's just never going to be successful for you. So that harmony that you're talking about is really key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. So as you – go ahead, Ty.
I was just going to say, and it took a while to get there. And I think that's part of the journey that people need to understand, that it's not just you put your shingle out and then you're in business for most people. For most of us, it is a journey. You may know that you love something, but it's a journey and a process to figure out the best way to express that so that you are successful and that it is not just a hobby, but you're making money from what you love doing and you're also serving the people that you have a purpose to serve.
I love that. Serving the people that it's your purpose to serve, that is really awesome. I'd love for you to say a little more about that because sometimes people have trouble figuring out, well, look, I know I like to do this, I'm passionate about that, but how do I figure out who are my people? What would you say?
Oh, Rhonda, that's a great question. I'm gonna tell a story. I know you were talking about that earlier, and I believe that that's a great way to share your expertise with people is putting it in stories. And I was working with a client once in a consultation, and she was having some trouble, you know, deciding whether to even pursue her business. She had this business idea for 10 years. And she was like, well, it can be costly sometimes, and, you know, I don't always get the materials that I need, and I don't always find the time, and I don't know, and maybe I just shouldn't, and there are so many other things that I could do, and I don't know. And she was taking herself around in this circle after circle after circle. She'd been having this conversation with herself for 10 years. So can you imagine what that felt like? But here's the question that I asked her to help her focus because, you know, it really, in that case, it really wasn't about, you know, well, this is a hot trend right now, so maybe I'll build a business on this, or, well, I'm not sure if I want to do this, or I could do this and I've done this in my past job. It wasn't any of those things that she needed to answer. Here's the question I told her, or I shared with her, I challenged her to answer. In your heart of hearts, when you get really quiet and think about it, who are you meant to serve, and what problem are you meant to solve for them? Because what I understand is that if you take the focus off all the busy stuff that you want to do, and you really understand that the gifts and talents and all that experience that you've got stirring up inside of you is really focused on who you're going to get to serve because they're waiting for you to step out into your own brilliance, if you understand that, it takes it away from just being about you, right?
Yes.
Because then you can commit to that vision that, wait a minute, if I don't do this, if I don't step boldly out into this thing, there are people who are waiting that need exactly what I have to offer. And I'm not only doing a disservice to myself, but you're doing a disservice to them, those people that need you. And that's a big change, and it's a big mindset shift, but it really helps people understand that all that busy stuff you could do, if you focus on who you're meant to serve, you've then got to focus on that because that's what's most important. That becomes a priority.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very true. So if somebody is trying to figure out, if they're not quite sure, you know, aside from getting quiet, because I see people have trouble figuring out what direction they should take or, you know, should they do a business this or that way, and I think that's a brilliant question about getting quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out who in your heart of hearts. But I know that from my experience, sometimes people still have that self-doubt and that all that inside, that saboteur stuff that's going on. How do you help get them past that to figure out, well, then who really are my people? Who are the ones I am meant to serve if I'm not quite sure if I feel, you know, uncertain about it?
Yeah, well, there's two parts to that. You know, one is sometimes you just have to make a choice. And, you know, yes, I talk about the, you know, what's, you know, really in your heart and who do you want to connect with. You might come up with four people on that list, all right? But at some point, you will have to make a choice. And the honest answer, there's no crystal ball. You know, there's no papers, there's no coach. And if their coach is promising they can tell you that, I don't, you know, I think that's a little bit of hogwash there. Sometimes you just have to make a choice and decision that this is the path you're going to choose for now. And what I tell my clients is this is the decision we're making today. That doesn't mean it can't change or it won't evolve into something else, but you've got to pick a starting point. That's one of the, I think, the traits of a really good entrepreneur is being able to make a decision. So make that decision, and then you back that decision up with two things. And you mentioned one of them. One of them is confidence, and the other is consistency. Confidence is your ability to believe in your own idea, yourself, your business, your, you know, that vision that you have. You've got to believe in that. You know, I struggled with that when I first started thinking about launching while working. It took me 2 years to actually build the site. Because I had talked to people, and some people said, well, I don't understand that, and, oh, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I listened to them, but it wouldn't die within me. It kept coming up over and over again, the more people I would meet that were in that same situation. So I pursued it, but it took me 2 years to let go of what I was hearing from other people before I had enough courage and confidence to believe that, you know what, there is a group of people out here that are launching while working. They do, you know, need, you know, support and community and encouragement, and I can help with that. The other piece of that is consistency. And this is where a lot of us fall down, especially when it comes to marketing or anything, you know, that requires us to be systematic in our approach, especially for those more creative types, right? But you have to be consistent in what you say, in what you deliver, and in your overall message, and even in your action, right? So if you call, a lot of people don't do cold calls anymore. We send out email newsletters these days. But what I see a lot of people doing is they'll send out two emails, and then they won't have a really good open rate, right? So maybe four people open the newsletter, and so they get really discouraged. And I'm thinking, it was two emails, you know?
Right.
You've got to be in this for the long haul. Or, you know, they say, well, I was on social media, you know, and I was out there with a Facebook fan page, and I've been at it for, you know, 2 months, and I don't have 500 people that like my page. It takes time. How consistent have you been with inviting people to like your page? How consistent have you been in, you know, putting out content that's out there for people that's relevant and that can help them? How consistent have you been in doing those things every single day, you know, to build your message, to build your brand, and to find your audience? You know, I've been out there on Twitter. I've been out there for about 3 or 4 years, and it's taken me that long to build an organic list of people out there or followers out there on Twitter. You know, I don't buy people. You know, I've got about, I think about close to 12,000 people that are following me on Twitter now, and someone would ask me, where did you get those people? You know, I didn't buy people. I didn't do any, you know, pay-per-click ads or anything like that. It was through genuinely following people who I thought were interesting, sharing with people, connecting with, you know, different tweet chats and groups, and that's how I began to connect with people and grow that following. But it takes time. You know, all of it takes time, whether it's social media, whether it's direct marketing, whether it's direct mail, it takes time.
Uh-huh.
It really does, and there really is no substitute. It's what this show is all about. It's about building relationships that both serve and sell at the same time. That's really what it takes.
I love that. I love that serve and sell at the same time. I think that's a great way to frame that.
Yeah, it really is. It is, and it's because it's about that. It does take you outside of your head. And, two, that one of the things that I tell folks, if you get caught up in sales, ooh, sales, I don't want to sell or whatever, if you forget about putting the focus on you and are focusing on serving, well, serving can involve that next best decision for that person. Could be a particular product or program or whatever it is that you have, and you're serving them well by making sure that they know about it. And it keeps you from getting into the me, I type of syndrome of putting the focus on, you know, mom, I'm afraid, I'm this, I'm that, I don't want to, blah, blah, blah. And it gets out of that head stuff.
Well, you know, that's funny. I did a video recently about that, you know, because one of the things I hear from women all the time is, you know, sales is scary and marketing is hard and, oh, my goodness. You know, and I liken it to this. You know, if you were a doctor and you had something that could cure someone,
right,
you would not think that was scary or hard. You would want to give that to them. And I think it's the same thing with marketing, really. You have something that can help someone, that can solve their problem. Why are you going to be shy about holding back from that? You know?
Well, what a great way to say that, Ty. Really, really good
that.
Way to say that.
Love
we
that.
Really are no different than doctors. We simply solve different problems than doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, which really says that it's their responsibility to help people with their health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have something like that as entrepreneurs in whatever niche we're in? We really got
mm-hmm.
solutions to problems, which is what each and every person who has their own business really should be doing. We
mm-hmm.
should really look at it as it's our responsibility to really bring that to the audiences that we serve.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Love that.
I love that you use the word responsibility, because I think that changes it some, especially, you know, as women. You know, we understand the term responsibility very well. You know,
yes.
When it comes to the things, when it comes to family and, you know, other commitments that we have. And I think we need to use that word in our business more. You know, we have a responsibility.
I definitely agree.
you know, to share our gifts and offer our services. And the key thing is that we've got to make sure that we're really solving a problem. And I know that's another struggle area, is that we want to offer something because we like doing it and we're good at it, but we haven't quite figured out how to communicate how that solves a problem for someone that they'd be willing to pay for.
Right.
Yeah. That's,
and this
that's
is probably one of the biggest issues that comes up for my students.
Yes.
They really have a hard time seeing themselves as an expert that helps someone else solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And before they can really make money at what they're doing, they have to see that they really deserve to have the success that they're seeking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What
do
advice do you have for people on that? Because that's a big issue for my audience.
It goes back to what I mentioned earlier about confidence, and it's one of the reasons why we spend a lot of time on mindset, you know, around you and what you have to offer, because that's to me, that's 70% of the game, is having a mindset, and that's what distinguishes people, you know, that I see that are really successful, is that they just believe in it, you know. They believe in themselves, they believe in what they have to offer, and they are not going to be shy about, you know, letting other people know about this great thing that they have to offer. And it takes a lot of work. I mean, we've got a lot of crap sometimes that we've got to deal with. Crap is becoming one of my favorite words of the day, it seems. I've had to use that word in a couple conversations this morning. But we've got those to deal with. And, you know, it's particularly hard with people who are launching while working, especially if you've been in a job that has really, you know, demeaned you. It's dysfunctional. You feel beaten down all the time. You know, you don't like where you are. It can be really hard to feel confident about anything if you've been in that kind of position. But it takes work. Some of the things that I've done and some of the things I help, you know, my clients with is, you know, affirmations, self-talk. One of the things my coach introduced to me and I use all the time are making audio cassettes. And now I say audio cassettes, but it's actually more like MP3s in this day and age, right? But you can make an MP3 audio that you can download and add to your phone or even play at home. It's not watching certain things on television that are going to, you know, make you feel contrary or just really bring you down and weigh you down. It's what you read, right? It's all the things that you're ingesting and intaking, whether it's visually or auditorily, or even being around people and absorbing their emotional garbage, right, that you can pick up. But you've got to start controlling what you take in so that you can have a better output as far as your confidence and your belief in yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's absolutely key. So that's really important is to think about this. Is a lot of it is your self-talk. A lot of it, I think, is giving yourself permission. And I was on a call recently that I did with some of my folks, and it was just seeming like people weren't giving themselves the permission to shine. So I said, I am waving the wand of power, and I hereby give you permission to shine. Then I said, you don't need my permission. You don't, because it's you and your gifts, and it's actually your divine duty to shine. However, it helps you to feel like somebody else telling you it will help you do it, then I'll do that for you as a service to get you going.
Well, that's so funny. That's what my, for the coaching that I do, if you go to the fan page out there on Facebook, the tagline for that is give yourself permission to soar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love your tagline. That's one of the reasons that one of the first things that caught my attention when I went to your fan page, I noticed that tagline, and I went, oh, yeah, this is our people. This is our kind of people.
Too funny.
Yeah.
How did the two of you meet, Rhonda?
I found her on Twitter, and I don't remember if it was through Bev Mahone or just through my streamer. I don't really actually know. But, you know, it's one of those where I read some of her things, I connected, and I said, oh, this would be really fabulous. So I called. I picked up the phone and called. Like we always tell people, don't just hide behind your computer screen constantly. So I find somebody that's cool, I want to meet him.
You know, I can't even keep track of how many guests you find in that exact way, Rhonda.
Oh, I don't even know.
There's a big lesson in that for our listeners.
Yep.
A big lesson in that.
If all you're going to do is sit behind your computer and type messages to people, you're not going to find great people like Ty to connect with. And look at how much we all have in common on the show today. I mean, really amazing.
Yeah. It didn't take long for me to figure out that we were all the same kind of people, because just looking at the messaging that you put out, everything is so, there's a sense of clarity and consistency that comes through in what you do. So like in 5 minutes, I went, oh, we need her on our show. I didn't have to talk to her for 6 hours, get to know her for 6 years, have three meals and, you know, whatever, a sleepover or something like that to figure it out. Because when you're very consistent in your message, it comes across right away. And, of course, being somebody that I've always found it important to make decisions quickly and not just hem and haw and fiddle around on stuff. So it's just great to go ahead and take that action. All of you can do that. I don't have any secret sauce that you don't. It's not like she said yes because she was so wowed by my credentials or something. It was the human connection that did it.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, I've found a lot of relationships like that out there. And, you know, there's so many people that, you know, I encounter that say, well, you don't really make connections on that social media stuff, and people need to get off their computers. Well, I agree to a degree. We need to take things to the next level, but I can't tell you how many relationships were started simply because I tweeted to someone, or, you know, they saw something I put out there on Facebook, or, you know, they liked, you know, something they saw on LinkedIn. And being visible, but also being approachable. And the third thing, you know, you mentioned this, is having that clear message. And that message didn't come overnight. It took some work, you know, to figure out who I was and what I had to say and what I had to offer. And that's the work of any entrepreneur, really, is that you really have to do that self-work first and be really clear, and then you start to, you know, have better opportunities to make those connections, because people admire that clarity, and a lot of people are looking for that themselves.
A few years ago, Tony Robbins quoted me on Twitter to his million-plus followers, and I got so much exposure from that. But it came from exactly what you're talking about. You know, I have a very clear message. I really have a very specific audience, and I go out and start conversations from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is such a gift. I got started in the late 90s, 96, 97, in my business. We didn't have social media back then. I had to do things very differently. It was the day and age where you literally could put up a site, and because there were only 10,000 of them, you would be found. It doesn't work that way in today's internet. And if we didn't have social media, I can only imagine how difficult it would be to build relationships that can truly explode your business. It would be darn near impossible.
It's
well,
so true
for people.
Go ahead.
And say, especially for people who are launching while working. You know, if you have that full-time job, you know, you don't have the opportunity and luxury that full-time entrepreneurs do of going to lunch and going to midday networking events. The thing that really propelled me was starting that first blog. I used to blog at careermakeovercoach.com, and I wanted to be a career coach. And blogging, my daughter was asleep, you know, after 7 or 8 o'clock at night, spending some time writing posts and blogging, was the best thing that I did, because it gave me a chance to, first of all, get it out of my system and express myself, but it also gave people a chance to find and discover who I was. And you can't
beat that. And it helped
you
find your voice.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, the process you go through of doing the blogging, it really is a journey that really makes a huge difference in finding that inner voice, figuring out who you are, figuring out what your message is. And it gives you the opportunity to see if you do this, it gets this in return. If you do that, it gets that in return, so that you really can figure out what you should be doing versus what you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Exactly. And without doing that, first of all of that does help you find your voice and clarify your message and everything, but how on earth are you going to find people otherwise? Even if you know, because social media is there, it makes it easy. I live in Missouri. Yeah, I occasionally go to an event, and you can make great connections at events, and I highly recommend them. But I can't do 52 a year,
right,
traveling all over the place. So it's because of that social media and that exposure, and people can look at whatever, whether it's your Twitter stream or your Facebook page or whatever, and if you do have that consistent messaging and you're communicating and sharing and so forth, they're going to get a feel for who you are. And if they're not your right audience, they will not click like, and that's good.
Exactly. So in the people that you work with, how do you suggest they get started in monetizing their business?
That's a really great question, and that's the struggle that I see a lot of folks have, that they start, especially when you start with social media, right, because it's all free. And
you can
get out there, you can make a blog, you can, you know, you can tweet, you can post things on Facebook, but how do you start converting that? One of the things I learned in my first failure of being out there online is that, you know, you have to have something to sell. Right? Now, it could be services, it could be a product, but just saying that you're a web designer, but you can't answer the question, well, what, you know, how can I work with you, is a big thing that will close the doors for you very fast, right?
Yeah.
When people say, you know, come to you and want to work with you, you have to have a something to offer them, whether you package your services a certain way or a product. And especially for folks who are launching while working, I am a big fan of having info products. My background, before I moved into corporate America, I was a teacher. And while I was in corporate America, I was an instructional designer, which means I got to design and develop learning courses, everything from stand-up training to e-learning. So I spent a lot of time learning how to develop content for audiences. And one of the things with Launch While Workers is that you don't have the ability to scale with your hours because you've got a day job. But if you can create a product that you can sell 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have now set something up where you can earn income that will help you move a lot faster to being a full-time entrepreneur. So I say figure out what you want to package and sell, and if you have expertise, if you're a coach, if you're a speaker, if you're an author, figure out a way to create an info product that you can sell online, whether it's a workbook or an audio MP3 that people can download or even a video series. But if you've got knowledge and expertise, your quickest way is to build an info product that you can sell and then build your services and package your offerings around that.
And do you find people, especially people who are still working, getting stuck on all of the technical issues that arise in doing that?
Yeah, some of them are. Some of them do. There are always those do-it-yourselfers out there who will go and Google stuff and find out how to do things. And, you know, I think that's fantastic, and that's where we want a lot of people to be. But then we've got the other side of people who they know that technology is hard, is a challenge for them, and they struggle because they get taken advantage of. I see a lot of folks out there who will say, well, I'll set up your web page, or I'll do this for you, or, you know, I can do this, and they pay, you know, this great amount of money for things, and they don't really get what they need. So you can struggle on both. As if you're do-it-yourself and you don't have time, what do? Or if you just want to throw money at it, but you still don't get what you want, what do? So, you kind of have to walk a fine line with being really clear about exactly what you want to accomplish, not just what you want things to look like, right?
Yeah.
So if you're building an info product, or even if you're building a website, why are you building a website? Why are you starting a blog? Blogging as a business is very much different than a blog that, showcases your expertise, right?
Yes.
But people won't, if you don't have a conversation with someone to help you figure that out, you'll end up with a site that you're very disappointed in. So it's right. Learning, and that's one of the things that I work with, is helping people learn what questions they need to ask so they can figure it out. There is no magic wand. There is no, 12-step box thing that you can buy today and know everything that you need, but there are blueprints. There are people you can ask as advisors. There are questions you can ask to get what you need.
Yeah.
I must say this at least a dozen times a week. If you understand the why, the how-to becomes crystal clear with very little effort. If you don't understand the why, you're going to struggle and struggle and struggle with the how-to and usually not get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is one of the single biggest reasons for working with a coach or a mentor. number one, yes, they have a blueprint that's duplicatable that can make it a lot easier to apply. But
right.
they can also help you understand the why and point you in the right direction to working with people who aren't going to screw you over, who are going to have reasonable prices, that are going to get you what you really want to accomplish rather than what you think you need to do.
Yes.
Very true. Really good.
You can
really,
Google
really
stuff.
Good.
You can also spend a lot of time, and that's what Gina's talking about. It's such a power of having somebody who can help you fast-track yourself. And the other thing I notice is if you go, well, how do I blank, and you start doing that a lot, you're really hitting a mindset hurdle, and you just don't realize.
There you are.
Yeah.
You are. And I said that to someone the other day. I said, you keep asking me, how do I blah, how do I blah? First of all, that's definitely a mindset block, and the really important thing is just how do I get it done? You don't have to be the one that does all the minutia.
Yeah.
It's really easy to get caught up in the minutia.
Mm-hmm. And especially for people who are still working, they don't have time to spend in the minutia.
No, nor should
yeah.
they, but yes, no fun.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
And unfortunately, I think so often people who are still working in a job or a career, they're used to doing the tactics. That's what they do in their jobs.
Yeah.
And so they assume mistakenly that that's a good thing for them to do in their business. Where really as an entrepreneur, what makes you successful is not the tactics. It's planning the strategy, building the systems, and managing the implementation, not doing it yourself.
You are so true, absolutely. We are planning something next year. It'll be our first kind of virtual event, and it's called The Shift. And it's all about the mindset that you need to shift from in order to be a successful entrepreneur. You know, it's and we focus on three things. We focus on you need to make a shift in your environment, you need to make a shift in your relationship, and you need to make a shift in how you think about ownership. You know, what do you really need to own in order to be a successful entrepreneur, and what things do you need to delegate?
Oh, I love it. Please let
That's
me know
right.
when you guys are doing that event. I would absolutely love to promote that.
I would, too, absolutely. And I know we're running out of time, so I've got to make sure people know where to find Ty. And her name is T-A-I, Ty Goodwin. You can find her Facebook page, also at launchwhileworking.com. And you do have tygoodwin.com, which I know is being remodeled, redesigned right now. So I want to make sure that people can find you. And what a fabulous conversation today.
Well, thank you, ladies. It's been a pleasure. I'm so glad we were able to find each other and connect. I've enjoyed this conversation with you as well.
We have as well. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you again for the invitation. It's been a pleasure.
And through your Facebook page, what will they find? Will they find free reports? Will they find a product?
Yeah, absolutely. At Facebook, well, there's two great things that will happen at Facebook. On the Facebook page, you can get to the Launch While Working website where we've got a couple of giveaways there. We've got the 12-step blueprint. You can actually download that blueprint that outlines those 12 steps for you. And we've also got another one, and it's 10 ways to find your next client.
Ooh,
that's a big
I love
issue
it.
As well. So
love
those
it.
Are both free downloads that you can get there. And we also have a community on Facebook. We have a closed group. It's called Launch While Working, the Employeepreneur Network, and it's a group specifically for people who are launching while working. We don't do a lot of spam. We have lots of conversations, lots of referrals, and it's a great place to hang out if you're an employeepreneur, somebody who's launching a business while working a full-time or part-time job.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. Thank you so much. And Rhonda and I will be back next week for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Great connection, Rhonda. Really, really glad that you brought Ty on today.
I knew you would love that. Well, thanks, everybody, and please tell your friends about our show, and we'll talk with you next week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101.
Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.